I'm just excited to share what I believe the Lord has in his heart today. And so just by way of review last week, you know, with this sermon series, the playlist Psalms is playlist for life. I just want to go back to reiterate one of the points that Caleb made. And he said the Psalms underscore the priority and power of worship and praise in all of life. And that's so true. And I hope you're getting that as you reread the Psalms, as we dive in, is like, this is a priority in all our lives, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of our lives when we understand praise and worship. Caleb went through fun facts about the Psalms as well, and 8 ways to praise. Everybody remember those Hebrew words? No. All right. Some of you do, some of you don't, but it's a great, go back and listen to it online. Go back and watch the, you can either listen to podcasts or watch it on YouTube, and it's a great message. But today I want to jump into Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It says this, a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So Lord, this morning, I pray that you would actually hide me in the cross and that you would be seen today, that you would do what only you can do, and that you would give what only you can give in this place. Lord, let our hearts connect with you in fresh ways. And Lord, where we are familiar with the scripture, I pray that you would break off that familiarity and that you would again open it to us, that you would restore, renew the joy of salvation in our lives. God, as we worship and we praise you in your name, amen. Amen. So right here in this first verse, David jumps in with a command. He says, command yourself to praise the Lord. And he's talking to himself kind of like we did in this song this morning. I don't know. We're singing about stuff. I don't know if that's third person, first person, whatever that is, person. It's been a long time since I've been in school. But, you know, David's saying here, he's saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Like he starts this song with saying, hey, I'm commanding my desires. I'm commanding my mind, my heart, my appetites. I'm commanding right now for them to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. And David's saying, soul, you got to get going. You know, sometimes you got to have some self-talk. Anybody know that? I need that at the gym. I leave some, you know, classes and it's funny in those moments, you know, you're right in the middle of, you know, leading a cycle class and you can tell everybody's getting tired and you just got to start speaking out, you know, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got to, like, in your mind, you know, even to get to the gym, yes, you can. You will get in the car, you know. You know what I'm saying? Some of us, we need that for work, right? You will get out of bed today, you know. You don't just do it when you want to do it, right? Well, you should not just do it when you want to do it, right? You should get up and go to work every day, right? People are waiting, you know, expecting. And so here David's saying, hey, soul, yes, you can. It's time to bless. It's time to praise. And sometimes we drag ourselves into church and we come in and we think, oh, the worship team will lead us. They will take it. I will sit back and I will relax and I will think about the things that I have to do for the week and what's for lunch. What am I going to make? You know, and what, you know, we start making a list, you know, those little note handout things that you have. You know, some of you aren't, you know, actually taking notes. You're writing what you have to do in the future because that's what you're thinking about, right, for the week. Shh, don't tell anybody. Or you're drawing pictures. I draw pictures, I have to be honest. So, and we're just not really engaged. Our soul is not engaged. But I tell you, this is what David's saying. Soul, it's time to engage, to stir yourself up. It's time for some soul music. For real. That's what he says here. It's time for soul music. And so note here that it wasn't about location. It wasn't about, he wasn't saying, well, when I'm in this place, this is when I tell my soul to sing. It wasn't about style. There is no preface here about what style this was in or what song, what key, what instrument was being played. It's just saying, soul, it's time to sing. It's time to bless. And it's just saying, what truths can I sing out? And I tell you, I feel like some of us, we struggle with style. We have our favorites. I have my favorites. Like, as a pastoral team, some of you think we may, like, love everything, you know, every part, every song, every, you know, I'll just let you know on a little secret. Shh. We have our favorites. of songs that we like have met God in. It's become like a memorial for us. Where we sing that, it's just like to the third heaven, you know, like right immediately to his presence again. All that memory comes back of what he's done and accomplished, and we go there. But so we're singing like a new song this morning, like a song I've never heard even this morning. And I have to go, okay, God, what is the truth in this song? What can I grab hold of in this song and declare it out to you and to praise you for it? It may not be the style I like. I may not even be sitting in the seat I like, but it doesn't matter about location. It doesn't matter about style. You're seeking worshipers, as John 4 says, those that worship you in spirit and in truth. So go ahead and grab hold of the truth that's represented, even if it's not your favorite. God, what truth is in this psalm? What truth is in the song that I'm singing today? And I will grab and I will praise you with my whole soul. I will praise you with all my being. David didn't just command himself to sing, but to have a heart engaged with truth, with the reality of who God is. Praise is both an action, as we learned last week. Our lips move, right? Whether with a shout or with a song, and I can't remember the words there, but, and it's, we kneel, we clap our hands, we raise the hands, toda, I remember that one, toda, we pluck strings, zemar, right? You guys remember those Hebrew words? I'm not speaking in tongues right now, I'm speaking Hebrew. All right. Halal, I just remembered one, because Kayla was hala, you know, okay, I remember that one. All right. To sing out what you're involved. It's an action. You dance to the Lord and worship, but it's also an attitude. It's a heart connection with God. It's a soul connection. Lips are saying something that your heart, that's within your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance we pour forth. Just as Hebrews 13:15 tells us, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice, or the offering, the worship. Let us offer the sacrifice that was worship of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So just as an animal's life would be poured out in an offering, our praise is to be an offering, pouring out what's inside of us to him. Get it? Just as an animal would be sacrificed as an offering, pouring out their life. We take out what's inside of us and we pour it out through our lips, giving praise to God always. And so tell somebody next to you, put your heart into it. All right. So David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That means all your powers, all your faculties, all that can be employed, the heart, the will, the affections, the emotions even. I know some of us are not as emotional as others. You know, that's okay. You give what you got. The idea is that God is worthy of all praise and adoration, which the entirety of the person can deliver. He is worthy of all that you've got. All that you have. It's unreserved adoration. Nothing should be held back. In verse 2, again, he says, bless the Lord. Bless, what is this word? Praise the Lord. Some of you have different translations, and you know, if you have your Bible open or your app that you like to read. Praise the Lord. It's that word, barak, to kneel down before in adoration. And some of us, we're going places, we're doing things, we're out to try to improve ourselves, we're actually out trying to save ourselves, out to make money, we're on Instagram and watching people's posts here and there, and what should I be, and who should I do, and I mean, where should I go, and oh my goodness, and all this stuff, and we're like, and we need a moment that says, soul, you will kneel down. Soul, you will come down and you will adore him, you will praise him. And sometimes it's not just about kneeling. On the outside, really, it's about kneeling in the heart and saying, soul, wait, take a moment. Stop and drop, right? Did you learn stop, drop, and roll for fire hazard when you were growing up, right? Well, here in the scripture, it's stop and drop and adore, okay? Stop, drop, and adore him. You got all this stuff attached to you, all this stuff coming after you, all these thoughts, all these things, and the soul needs to be, wait, take a moment. I like to say laws, you know, pause. And think on that. We haven't gotten to a Selah yet, but they're in the Psalms. It says Selah. What's Selah? I go around. Did anybody use that in their everyday language? Not really. Selah? We're just going to Selah right now. Okay. Some people do. I saw a hand raise. But most of us don't, we don't pause. We don't have that pause button. And here he's saying, soul, it's time to kneel down. It's time to adore him, to lift him up, to bless his name. And so here he helps us. How do we go about that? How do we do that? Let's barak. Let's bless his name. And we do that by not forgetting all his benefits. How many of you know that our soul can forget? Hello, your mind can forget things. You know, like I always tell about, like, I'm amazed when people preach without notes, because, like, I don't go to the grocery store pretty much without a list these days. Because I can wander those aisles and still no recollection will hit me until I'm home 2 days later. And I'm like, that's why I was there, you know? And so I have to write it down, you know, because my soul forgets. I put garlic bread in the oven, and my kids will probably be here next service, but they can testify. I mean, they probably can't even count anymore how many times I've lit bread on fire. Like, I'm not talking about just like a light little, got a little extra crispy, you can, you know, scrape that off. But I'm talking about fire. Like, it has to be go in the sink, water poured on it, you know, because I put it on broil, you know, the quick, you know, like I'm going to do a quick garlic bread, whatever. And I turn it on and I totally space it. And you would think, you know, after forgetting it, you know, one or two times in your life, you would like set an alarm, I don't know, stand right next to it, you know, like just remember that it's there. But I have a habit of forgetting it, completely forgetting it. I mean, there's other things that I forget too. If I don't write them down, I can forget that I have a meeting that I'd scheduled weeks before where I put my cell phone. Oh my goodness. I mean, some of us, you know, we forget that we have to pick up our children somewhere. Okay, anybody? All right. You know, you can forget things. And you know, the thing is we forget what's most important a lot of times, and we forget his benefits, his blessings. This is why the scripture commanded, Jesus commanded us. He said, I want you to remember, and I want you to do it by taking communion. Remember what he's done. He said, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. You have to have something in your life that signifies and helps you remember. Have you had ways that, what do you do to help you remember? I mean, maybe you are a big list person. You know, maybe you tie things on your fingers. You know, like I was growing up and my dad, you know, is so cute. We would ask him, like, can you put our clothes in the dryer before you go to bed? Because we'd start a load of clothes and we, you know, have to be up for school the next day. He's like, well, put my pillow by my bedroom door. And that way, when I walk by, I won't, you know, I can't go to bed without the pillow. And I would remember, like, hey, there's a reason my pillow's here. Oh, it's to switch to the laundry. Well, guess what I do? I do the same thing with my kids. They're like, Mom, can you put my laundry in the dryer? And I'm like, I will totally forget that. But if you put my pillow by my door, that's my way of remembering, right? What is your way of remembering? How do you keep track of things in your life? Well, David here is saying, I'm going to use a song to remember. How many know one of the most effective ways to remember something is to put it into song? How do we start the alphabet? Learning it, right? A, B, C, D. You can sing it, right? Do you remember? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus loves me. This I... Anybody sing? No. You guys are like, we are not singing this morning with you. I couldn't even get one of you to, like, I can see it in your minds, like, moving. You're like, no, we're not participating in that. Not going to do that. But the power of song, right? We put it to song. I even think about my older sister who's a pre-believer, and still she says, she's like, I will go and I'll vacuum my house and I'll sing our old Sunday school songs while I'm vacuuming the house, because you never forget. And could you imagine someone who's not even a believer in Christ? Yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. I can't sing, I'm going to start crying. For, you know, and she's vacuuming her house and she's singing the truth of who he is. What? I feel like she's prophesying into her future. She's prophesying because it was given in song. It was given in a way to remember. So don't forget. David is saying, soul, you've got to praise him. And don't dare forget all his benefits. Don't forget anything he has to offer. Remember what he's done for you, how he's changed you, what doors he's opened for you, how he's set you free, how he's broken things off your life and brought you into this place, how he's healed you, how he's come in and you were a mess before. I mean, you were a mess before. You were emotionally immature. He came in and he healed that place of your heart and he's making you mature in him. Remember the things that he's done for you. Go back and recollect. Remember is to recollect those things, to go back and pick up the things that God has done for you. And you go back and you begin to search. And this is the power of the songs, because it brings to remembrance the things that we have forgotten. Have you ever been in a worship service and you start singing the truths of who he is, and suddenly your heart's just flooded with who God is? And you're like, oh my goodness, that's right, you are eternal love. Well, he said, hey, I got to go back and I got to recollect. I got to remember his benefits. Oh my gosh, he's forgiven all my sins, salvation. Though my sins were as scarlet, they're going to be made white as snow. Oh, and near to that, not very far away, so connected to that, is healing. He heals all my diseases. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Oh, would you look at that? Oh, my hands are already getting full. He redeems my life from destruction. He brings me out of the pit where I was barred in before, where I was shut in before. He's removed me out of that place, out of that prison. Oh, wow, here's another one. I found it. What does he do? He crowns me with loving kindness and mercies. What? There's more? Look at that, you guys. There's more. Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. What, the Trader Joe's back? Yes. Oh. He satisfies my mouth with good things. So my youth is renewed like the eagle. And look, as I'm worshiping, my hands are so full. My arms are so full. I'm no longer empty. As I sing songs of praise, as I bless his name, I thought I was empty when I paused. I thought I was empty when I went to praise him. But then I began to realize who he is, and I realized, oh, all his benefits. Look, I thought I was giving away. You can never outgive God. Look what he's given me. Look at what he's given me. So good. All right. So let's recollect. Let's go back. Whatever emotional state you find yourself in this morning, whatever place, whatever part of your path, whatever part of your journey, it's time to bless his name. Soul, bless the Lord. You know, I think of Paul and Silas in the prison recollecting the things God had done. They were bound. They were held fast. They're in prison. And what were they doing? They were praising. Soul, you will praise right now. You will bless him. We're not going to forget his benefits. We may be in a hard time right now, but I am not going to withhold what is due him. We will praise him. We will lift him up. So there's value in remembering, isn't there? Yes, there is. Faithfulness of God becomes a prophecy for our future. When you remember what he's done, it becomes a prophecy for your future. You begin to speak not just in remembering the past, not just for the past, but you can then believe for the now and speak into the now and prophesy into your future. 2 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said this, he has delivered us from a deadly peril and he will deliver us again. We sing that song, you will do it again. You know, faith to move the mountains, you're going to do it again. He'll deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So this is an ongoing thing, not just a one-time event, but an ongoing. And so I believe as we worship and as we pray, what we do is we activate the spirit of prophecy. We activate the move of God and the breath of God. We activate his movement as we praise and worship. If you don't believe me, you find it in scripture. You find it with Elisha as he calls for a minstrel and then he begins to play and he prophesies. You find it with David, which I want to focus on David because he wrote a lot of these Psalms. And it says in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 25, that David established the sons of Asaph. This is so cool. He established the sons of Asaph. The sons of Asaph wrote over at least 12 songs, okay, are recorded of the Psalms. So we have 12 of them in the book. And it says he commanded them to prophesy on their instruments. He commanded them, and that word prophesy there is to sing or to speak under the influence of the Spirit of God. So he's like, I want you, I'm setting you guys up to sit there with instruments, and I want you to sing, and I want you to play and prophesy as the Spirit of God. I want him to flow through you, and I want you to speak out, and we're going to record, and we're going to release this over our nation. That's some good stuff. Sorry, I'm kind of excited this morning. I feel like I'm yelling a little bit, but just a little. That's good right there. The power of praise is when you boast of who he is. You're saying, God, I put you on display. I begin to lift you up of who you are, because if you be lifted up, oh, who can stop you? You know, you be lifted up, and we begin to lift him up. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and you begin to lift up who he is and declare who he is, and it begins to release a spirit of action even in that moment. And you're creating more than just an atmosphere. You're actually creating a new future, and you're giving witness to what he's done. You're saying, God, do it again. Do it again. And you're releasing that testimony, that power for it to be done again. For all that see and hear, it will be replicated and repeated. Like, it's so incredible. The power of our worship. Paul and Silas, it says they were hearing, the prisoners were hearing them sing songs to the Lord. They were hearing them. All of them were released. All of them found their freedom that night. It's just incredible. All right. So, to my main points this morning, though. Are you with me? Yeah. You serve a God that gives you benefits. Wow. You serve a God that gives you benefits. That's why I was like, we got to recollect. We got to remember what he's done. When I, before I was a Christian, before I was a believer and I knew about Christ and stuff, I really thought, well, if God, if I really serve you, if I really, you know, do this thing, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on what the world has to offer. I'm going to miss out what my friends are doing. And I really don't want to miss out. Like, you know, fun. I mean, that was my high priority, fun. I can't really think of anything else. You know, when you're a teenager, that's like, that's it, right? Yeah, that stuff, you know, the fun stuff. Like, God, I don't want to miss out on that. And then there was the point that this all changed, because I had a revelation of who God is. And I realized that I'm missing out if I'm not following him. It completely flipped all around. And I was like, oh, wait. I had that completely opposite. I'm missing out if I'm not going after him. Psalm 16:11 says this, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. I just think about how many people in our country, in this world, are out trying to be happy. Out trying to be happy. And they just, they get to a place where they enjoy a moment, because sin has pleasure for a season, for a moment. They enjoy the moment, but then they go away and their soul is emptier than it was before. And they're more depressed. I feel like we've never had such an epidemic of depression and loneliness and isolation. Even though we're more connected, there's more things to do than ever before. We have the ability to travel like never before. And yet there's this emptiness, because they're doing it without the presence of the one who has fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I just really believe this. I used to say this when I was in high school too. If you're bored in church, you're doing something wrong. Something's wrong in your theology, your understanding of who God is, your activity, you know, what you're actually, you know, doing with what you know of him. If you're bored, because pleasures, his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Whoa. So can I just speak how it is a little bit? Yeah. So something needs to shift a little bit. So, and then many people think, okay, well, I get that, Rachel, you know, but for the future, in the future, we will receive all these good things. In the future, I will be incredibly happy, you know, get up to heaven, no more tears, you know, there will be no sorrow and sighing will flee away. Revelation says, it literally, there will be no more sorrow. I get that. In the future, yes, pleasure, I will be in his presence forever. There will just be joy around us, surrounding us. Yes, there will be life and all that, but not necessarily in the now. Because now we kind of just live miserably. Yeah, we're believers, but we're in a miserable kind of state. Anybody have bought that lie? You don't have to raise your hand to that, but anybody kind of like, yeah, you know, he's done it, but we just live in this kind of, you know, this kind of place. But Psalm 27:13, another song, listen to this. Yet I am confident, David says, I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Huh. That's a declaration against misery. I am confident of this one thing. It's going to come up in a second. 27:13, I think it's in this slide. Yeah, I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness right here while I am here in this land. While I am here in Marin County. In Marin, I will see his goodness right here. So the benefits are for now. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard the story of the young man who, before the days of airplanes, he wanted to take a trip from Europe to the U.S. It was very expensive, a very costly trip, and he saved all his money. He, you know, worked diligently, hard, saved. He was able to purchase the ticket, and then for food, he bought himself a suitcase, and he packed it full with cheese and crackers, thinking, like, this is how I'm going to get by. I have to do minimal. I don't have a lot. My budget is, like, nothing. And so he gets on the ship, and he begins to cross. They had been to cross the ocean, and as they do so, all the other passengers go into this ornate dining room and sit down and eat, and he's like, okay, I'll go get my stuff. And he kind of sits in a, not in the dining room. He sits outside, and he's eating his cheese and crackers, and you know, he just, the smell, you know, after a few days, it's just like overwhelming, you know, like he could smell as people would walk into the dining cart, you know, the dining room, they would open the door and it was just like his belly would rumble and he could see them eating, you know, just scrumptious goodies, you know, things. And they would walk out talking about how they overate and how full they were. And they're almost to the point of being sick. You know, you ever eat that much, you know, especially on a cruise, it's so easy to do. And so he just was like, he'd dream at night, even of food. Like, he's like, to the point where I just want, like, this to be so nice, but that's okay. I'm just going to make it there, and then everything will be okay. And so one of the other passengers, finally, they stop him one day, and he's like, hey, I've noticed you out here eating, you know, whatever you're eating. Why don't you just come in and join everybody else and eat dinner with us? And he was super embarrassed. He, like, face flush, you know, and he just was like, oh my gosh. Well, to be honest, like, I just don't have the money to pay for that. I only had the money for a ticket. And so I'm just doing what I, you know, can do. And the other man's eyebrows raised up in shock. And he said, sir, don't you realize the meals are included in the price of your ticket? Your meals have already been paid for. And I'm just thinking from that story, how many of us, first of all, good news, I should say this, is that your ticket and your extras have already been bought by Christ. Your ticket and all the extras have already been bought by Christ. But how many of us Christians, we go through life with just enough to get by? Just enough to, and we forget the benefits. We forget what he's given us. That the meal, the satisfaction, all that is already included in the price that he paid. When you receive him, you received all the benefits as well. And so let's go through the five this morning. Are you with me? Our five benefits here. Number one, look at this. He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives all our iniquities. Oh, soul, don't forget, he forgives all your iniquities. We can let the weight of our past, we can let the weight of the things that we've done, that past action, drag us down and continue to be like behind us, like something, like a shadow behind us. That's always this darkness following us. We can't seem to shake it. Wherever we go, it's there. And it's all, maybe even in our conscience where it's resting hard and we're under this constant weight. But 1 John 1:9 tells us what It tells us that he is faithful. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so our conscience then is clear. You don't have to live under guilt. You don't have to live under shame. You're free in the power of the cross. When you confess your sin, that is to say the same thing God says about it. He says, I forgive you. I grant you forgiveness. And that's all your iniquities. Because we're like, okay, God, I've done some things. And yeah, those are easy to forgive. But these other things, actually, they're more recent. And so they come to mind all the time. But God's saying, I forgive all your iniquities. All of them. The psalm goes on to talk. We don't have time to read the rest of the psalm this morning, but it goes to talk about his mercy. In verse 11, it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your mercy. I mean, I just think of astronomers are still expanding the concept of heaven. How far do the heavens go? And some of us think, oh my gosh, they're pushing God further away. No, actually, they're just expanding his mercy. Woo! It's getting larger. As far as as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your mercy towards us. And then as far as, it goes on, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, you have separated our sins from us. Notice the psalmist did not say as far as the north is from the south. This is before they knew about North Pole, South Pole. You can mark the ends of the north and the south. You can literally get to the ends, but you cannot get to the ends of the east and the west. There are no poles to mark the end. You can continually go east. I mean, looking at the east, I don't even know if I'm going the right direction. And you can continually go west, and you can, and never, and that's how far, because your sins over there are going east, and I'm going west, and they'll never meet ever again. As far as the east is from the west, not the north and south. And he's prophesying. David was prophesying with knowledge, God knowledge here. So have you removed our sins from us? It can't chase you down. Once it's in the cross, it can't find you anymore. It can't creep back up 20 years later and say, peekaboo, I found you. No, it can't. You just got to shove that thing back on the cross and say, oh no, you don't. Secondly, that's a good benefit right there, I'll just say, if you've forgotten. He heals all our diseases right after this. Right after he forgives all our iniquities, he heals all our diseases. Healing and forgiveness are inseparably connected. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Past tense, as done. You were healed. That's it. Anybody need healing this morning? Anybody need some healing this morning? You can go ahead and raise your hand. You can acknowledge. You can say, hey, that's me right here. All right now, keep your hand up. Who wants healing this morning? Because just as much as he forgives iniquity in this moment, he can forgive like that. He can heal just like that as well. So Lord, right now, everybody with me, you agree with me. Lord, right now, we thank you for your power. I thank you for what you've already done on the cross. And I pray that your power would flow in this room to touch bodies, that you would back up your word, not my words, but you would back up your word with signs following right now. Lord, whatever the request is in these seats, Lord, that you would begin to touch with your presence. Holy Spirit, fill this place, touch bodies and make them whole by your power. And Lord, this is not just an exercise for exercise sake, but Lord, we pray for your power right now to be made whole. Lord, I pray that you'd straighten backs this morning and you'd move discs into place. Lord, people struggling with back problems, I just pray you loosen them right now. Thank you, Lord. And everything else, because it says you heal all our diseases. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. He can touch you at any time, just like he can forgive you at any time. Number three, he redeems our lives from destruction. He redeems your life. He means he goes and he paid the price, the ransom, the what was necessary. You were actually held ransom. And he paid all that to bring you back from destruction. This word for destruction is kind of a fun word. It's a pit for lions. It actually was a pit used to trap lions. And I'm like, God, what a picture of your people. Like, the enemy's out to trap. We're trapped in sin, literally trapped lions. And says, God's come in. He's ransomed. He's bought you back out of that pit. Ever been in a pit? I've been in some pits in my life. And he's bought me back out of the pit. Out of that picture, of course, is hell. He's brought you out of hell. So, you know what? If the death penalty had not been removed, we weren't going to see the fullness of all that he accomplished on the cross, because we could receive forgiveness and healing, but we needed the death penalty removed off our life, actual destruction removed off our life, hell removed off of our lives. He redeemed your life from destruction. You've been out of the pit. You're out of the prison house. It speaks of like Israel coming out of Egypt, out of bondage, completely coming out. He's paid the price. Number four, are you with me? 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. You've moved from slave to sonship to daughtership. I don't know if that's a word, but you've moved from a place of being a slave to being his. And here we have the coronation happen, where he literally surrounds, like, you know, to put a crown around. But what is he crowning with us with? Loving kindness and mercies. He's literally surrounding your life as a royal person with love and compassion, tender pity. Verses 13 and 14 of the same psalm describes this. It says, he pities us, or he has, this is not feel sorry, oh, I just feel sorry for them. This is, he has compassionate or tender love for us as a father does his children. And verse 14, he recognizes that we are just dust. He knows our frame. He knows how gentle he needs to be with us. And so he comes in. He's like, I'm removing sin off your life. I'm removing sickness off your life. I'm redeeming you from destruction, the ultimate result of sin and sickness. I'm taking that off of your life. And now I'm going to encompass you completely, encircle you, encapsulate you. Get the picture that there's no other thing that can touch you, except for his love and his mercy. I'm going to completely surround you with love and mercy. This is more than just being saved. This is going into his love, receiving his love, or being heaped with his love and with his kindness. And then number five this morning, he satisfies our mouths with good things. Oh, yeah. I'm a foodie, so this really relates to my heart. He fills us with good things. In other words, that place, you could just keep on coming, right? That place, he keeps the good things coming. He fills you. So much of life is being poured into us. Then it goes on to say that you're rejuvenated like an eagle. Your youth is rejuvenated like an eagle. Okay, if you don't hear anything else in my message this morning, hear what this psalm says. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. Hello? We got creams of all kinds of sorts, hair transplants, you know. I mean, we're looking for things, you know, something, you know, vitamin. I mean, the vitamin market is gone, you know. What, you got to eat the right food. You got to do this. You got to exercise. I mean, we are looking some way to stay young. Can I just tell you something? David sang it. He sang it, this prophecy into our lives, to be recorded, to say, here is the fountain of youth. The benefits of God. The benefits of God. He rejuvenates your youth like an eagle. You guys think I'm kidding right now. No. Let me tell you a story of my stepdad, Hans. He was, you know, what was he? 70 when he was sliding down the banister. I don't recommend this for anybody, by the way. Sliding down the banister, the front of the church, right? You know, as you go down the stairs, that's lovely, that big, long, you know, stairway. You know, he'd hop up on that thing and just, whoop, slide right down, you know. He did break off the end a couple of times. That's why I don't recommend it. He was a handyman, so, you know, very handy. And so he would, you know, put it back on. It has been repaired, multiple times. But what am I saying? He would actually get up here, and when he would share, he would get so fired up. He would be jumping. He'd be excited. He just, you know, and you would not even think that he was his age at all. because something was happening inside where God would rejuvenate him. He's like, God, you fill me with good things. You satisfy my life. And so I'm like an eagle. I'm like a young soaring eagle. Oh my goodness. So the fountain, you guys, I tell you, that's such good news. You know, you get to rise above your circumstances. You get to be fat and happy. The scripture calls it fat and flourishing. We change it to fat and happy. God says, I will make you fat and happy. So much, thank you, so much life being poured into you, so much goodness being poured into you. I receive it, God, and because of that, it's rejuvenating me on the inside. Though the outward man perished, the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm getting younger as I'm getting older. This outside crust may be getting old, but, you know, I'm getting younger on the inside. Hello. All right. So, let's have the worship team come. Sorry, I should have called you a minute ago, but let's go into response time. We need to call ourselves out to praise him. Call our own selves out. I'm not here to call you out. I'm just reading the Psalms this morning. Did I say, soul, let's praise the God. Let's praise him. All that is within me, let's praise him. So it's time that you call out your own self. Soul, you will praise. And let's not forget, and soul, don't forget his benefits. What are these good benefits? How great are benefits if you never use them, if you never apply them? You'd be like the guy on the cruise ship. Just snacking on what you got and not feasting at the table. But God has us for us to feast at the table. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. I believe God has brought us to this moment. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come as well. You guys can start playing behind me. And this is a good moment. You know that you're here on purpose, that it's time to receive those benefits, apply those benefits if you haven't. And even as we worship, again, all of our prayer team can come, but our prayer team will be happy to pray with you, to agree with you. Maybe there's an area that you need forgiveness in, or you never realized you haven't been walking, and even as I mentioned these benefits this morning, God, I forget that you satisfy me. Lord, I've been trying to go to the other things again. I went back. I forgot about, you know, the Trader Joe's bag. I forgot. This is something that's always with me. You always have provision for me. And God, I want to turn back to you. And so again, as we worship, remember these things, that as a sinner, he forgives us. As a sick person, he heals us. As a slave, he redeems us. As a son or daughter, he crowns us. And as a saint, he satisfies us.